The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Planet Youth is a community-wide approach to encourage and enable people to use data and evidence to create better, healthier environments for young people, and to support healthier choices around substance use. We're going to learn about Planet Youth in today's show. But first, at the time of this recording, the White House website no longer has sections or pages devoted to the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Same for the Office of Gun Violence Prevention. The links return a 404 not found in the latter case, and in the case of ONDCP, a redirect to the White House homepage. If I were pressed, I'd venture a guess that the redirect might be a sign that the White House plans to keep ONDCP around, or at least that they haven't yet decided to jettison it. The administration has imposed drastic restrictions on information and communications from a number of federal agencies in the Department of Health and Human Services, including, among others, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the Centers for Disease Control, the Food and Drug Administration, and the National Institutes of Health, which, by the way, includes the National Institute on Drug Abuse. The guidance is so broad and controlling that all public presentations at conferences or meetings must now be cleared beforehand by a presidential appointee. Not just the direct supervisor or some other agency higher up, a presidential appointee. This so-called guidance was imposed with immediate effect, so abruptly, in fact, that an event for early career researchers to learn about NIH and its grant-making and its research funding was canceled in the middle of a presentation. I should clarify that the FDA is still being allowed to release urgent communications like company warning letters, drug safety alerts, and food recalls. Yeah, at least for now. In related news, the Association of Healthcare Journalists released an open letter on January 31, 2025, from the AHCJ Board of Directors addressed to the Acting Secretary for Health and Human Services, Dorothy A. Fink, M.D., and the Acting Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Susan Monares, Ph.D. The letter reads as follows, to Acting Secretary Fink and Acting Director Monares. We are writing on behalf of the 1,400 members of the Association of Healthcare Journalists to protest the removal of vital public health data from the CDC website, including survey results from the Youth Risk Behavioral Surveillance System, the CDC's Social Vulnerability Index, and Atlas Plus, an interactive CDC tool with years of data on social determinants of health and diseases including HIV, tuberculosis, and STDs. These data are used by journalists every day to report stories about public health. At a time when the rise in chronic illnesses and harmful behaviors among young people is at the top of the national agenda, the YRBS data on smoking, vaping, drinking, eating, exercise, and sexual behavior are crucial for reporters trying to inform the public about these issues. The county-level Social Vulnerability Index data is important to inform reporting on communities' resilience and ability to respond when faced with disasters such as wildfires and severe weather. Even the temporary removal of such data will impair our members' ability to give the public essential and timely health information. We request the immediate restoration of sites that have been taken down in recent days and that the agency not take down other pages with critical health data. Sincerely, Felice J. Fryer, President, Gideon Gill, Vice President, Andrea Warner, Interim Executive Director, the Association of Healthcare Journalists. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I must add that I am a member of the Association of Healthcare Journalists, and as a member, I endorse this message heartily and in full. These are developing stories. Wow, now that has to be the understatement of the century. And they're just part of a much broader attack on our rights and our privacy. The concept of government of the people, by the people, and for the people is under imminent threat from the White House and its oligarch cronies. It is one heck of a mess. We'll keep reporting on it, so you keep tuning in. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. And now to our main story. Planet Youth is a community-wide approach to encourage and enable people to use data and evidence to create better, healthier environments for young people and to support healthier choices around substance use. The Scottish Drugs Forum recently held a webinar to look at the application of this approach in Scotland and the progress being made. First, here's Zara Hedges, CEO of Winning Scotland.
So As I said, I'm the chief executive of an organisation called Winning Scotland. We have been going for about 20 years and we're a very small team. Our mission is to build confidence and resilience in children and young people. Funnily enough, for a charity that has a beneficiary group of children and young people, we don't actually work with them because we recognise that a lot of the challenges our young people have is because of the adults round about them. So our model is to work with the adults round about our children and young people so that they can help children to live healthier, happier lives. We do that in two different ways. We look at the individual, the role of the individual young person and what they can do when they're properly supported to change the lives of themselves and those around them. And that properly supported bit is key because actually the environment that we're growing up in plays such a huge role in the outcomes that we end up living through. So we have a track record in bringing new ideas to Scotland and working with big national partners to implement them. And Planet Youth is our current example of that. So I'm going to hand over to Morgan shortly, who will talk to you more about what Planet Youth is and maybe a little bit about what it isn't. But I want to tell you about how it started. So in 2018, there was a video that went viral. Some of you may have seen it. It was from the World Economic Forum, and it was talking about the fact that in Iceland, very few young people are drinking, smoking and taking drugs. And Winning Scotland, as an entity, was already working with we worked with all local authorities, to be honest, but we had a handful that we were working with on a very regular basis. And a couple of those came to us to say, this looks really interesting. I don't even know how we'd begin. Can you help us figure it out? So we sent a delegation to Iceland to learn a little bit about what it was. And I will be honest with you, at that point, they were still building it because they had organically reached this point through a combination of social science, experimentation, policy. And then they were reverse engineering it to look back and go, well, what did we do? And is this something that's of value to the world? So they had their first conference where they were starting to bring that together. And we bumped into some people from Highland who were already having those kind of conversations and looking at what they might do. So we decided when we got back to Scotland to create a motley crew of pioneers who would bring this here, not to replicate completely, but to look at what lessons we could learn. And it started around about COVID time. The colleagues who went to Iceland, they came back, I think, on like the 15th of March, and then we went into lockdown a few days later. But we decided to persevere. So we started off very much us and our partners putting in, and it wasn't just local authorities, it was ADPs, putting in a wee bit of resource to see if we could do this. And that was because people realised that a big change was needed. And actually, when we're talking about just say no, that's not necessarily something that's proven itself to be as effective as we'd like it to be over the last 30 or 40 years. So we were looking for a big change, and this is an improvement methodology. As I say, Morgan's going to go through the details. And at some point, and I want to say 2022, I might be mistaken, we got a phone call from someone at Scottish Government because colleagues in the local pilot areas had been talking about this and the work that we were doing. And Scottish Government approached us to say, we're really curious about this. Is there anything that we can do to support it? And we agreed a two-year pilot, even though the work had started before, a pilot to look at what are the lessons, what are the conditions of success if we were to try and do Planet Youth over here, what will make it work, what are the barriers to implementation? And that's what we're doing just now. That pilot phase finishes in about 2 months and we'll have our evaluation published in the summer. I just want to say as well, for us, this is not about making things a bit less rubbish for our young people. It's actually about helping them to live healthier, happier lives. And if we get this right, we won't just see a reduction in use of drugs and increase in the age of first use. It'll actually, we'll see more kids having better mental health, better connections with their families and their communities, healthier, better attainment. Like, there's so many benefits to getting this right.
That was Zara Hedges, CEO of Winning Scotland, speaking January 29th on a webinar hosted by the Scottish Drugs Forum entitled Young People and Drugs, Early Intervention and Harm Prevention. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Now, here's Morgan Moore, Planet Youth National Delivery Manager with the NGO Winning Scotland.
This sort of all came about because of these articles and all of this stuff that was happening. And I think in Scotland we have this really interesting, but I like to think that we think we're a bit of a Nordic country ourselves, so we take a lot of inspiration for the things that are happening over there. And when these things were coming out, it was really interesting and something that was really difficult to ignore in terms of the fact that there is someone somewhere in the world getting this right and we're still not. So what can we do about it? The big thing we hear, as Zara said, we quite often are asking people, what is your yes and, your yes but? And the big thing always is, but Iceland's not Scotland. And we hear this all of the time and we're very aware that they're very different in a lot of ways. I think the biggest things that are different is some of the structures, but even just in terms of the population of Iceland is similar to the population of Fife, which is actually where I'm from, and worked for a long time in Fife, and getting anything consistently across those seven areas is quite difficult. So never mind across the sort of length and breadth of Scotland. But that's the whole point of the pilot, has been to learn what can work, what needs adjusted, what do we need to do to adapt this model to our Scottish context. So we're getting closer and closer to understanding what this can and could look like. But this is the really helpful thing, and this is what they call in Iceland, they call it the hero slide or Miss Trendy. This is the thing that gets everyone really excited about Planet Youth. And what's really helpful about what this slide shows us is that Iceland's starting point is very similar to where our starting point is. So what this graph really shows is from back in the 90s to now, how Iceland have managed to go from these really high levels of teenagers, young people getting drunk in the last 30 days, smoking daily, trying cannabis, or more recently vaping. And the purple number is really interesting, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But I think what's really important is that the things that are similar about Scotland and Iceland is around culture and around those similar attitudes towards alcohol in particular, where we very much drink to celebrate, to commiserate, when we win, when we lose. It's really entrenched in so much of our culture, and it was absolutely the same in Iceland. It was really entrenched in all part of their social lives. And for many, it was that way since they were a teen. It just was completely the norm. And what's really fascinating is going back to the purple line, because you can see this line where, the same as what we've experienced here, Iceland also saw a spike in vaping. They saw a big increase. But what you can see is that they very quickly became aware of this spike and they started to change things to bring those numbers down. And it wasn't included in the original questions because it wasn't a threat at the time. So the interesting thing about this is that we need to be aware of the fact that there are always new threats. There are always new things that we need to be asking young people about and listening to what they're experiencing. And I guess this led us to really believe that we, like Iceland, about 25 years ago, had reached a really similar point where we're ready and we've got an appetite for some big change. So this is a little bit about what it's looked like for us in Scotland since starting the pilot. We've grown a little bit. We have Argyll and Bute, Angus, Clackmannanshire, Dundee, Highland and West Dunbartonshire as the six areas currently delivering on the pilot, and they cover over 24 schools. Across the areas, the people leading that is different in each area because the setups are different in each area. It spans from education in some areas, NHS, community learning development and third sector partners. It's different in each area dependent on how they're made up and who's best fit to lead that. And the pilot was really aiming to see whether Planet Youth does fit in Scotland, and it's being evaluated independently to support our learning and understanding of what's going on and how we can learn from what we're doing now, with lots of hopes for the future of getting more local areas involved. And for each of the areas, going on this journey has been really brave. There are lots of people that really don't want to ask about this kind of stuff. They don't want to ask teenagers what's going on in their world. But what we all know, probably, if you're on this call, we know that just because we're not asking doesn't mean that's not happening. And there are lots of wonderful things happening across the areas. You'll hear a wee bit more about that this morning. We've got a few areas here to talk to you about what's going on in their world. Some of the challenges, there's been a lot, and I think the pace and momentum at times particularly has been a big challenge. Ensuring the right people involved has been really tricky, and it's really tricky and difficult to just think differently when we're so used to fighting fires. It's hard to have patience when we very much work in a country that often focuses on really shiny interventions or the number of children that have been saved. There isn't really many people that are focusing on the children that were prevented from ever needing saved. But with all of that trickiness, we absolutely have shown, I think, a lot of resilience, a lot of perseverance and determinations that ultimately that we know our kids deserve better. So in terms of what this means, I want to talk you through what one of the big learnings that we had. One of the biggest learnings over the last few years is that when we've talked about the model, we've kind of presumed that everyone is talking about the same thing when we talk about prevention. But the learning is that that's not the case. When we're talking about prevention, not everyone is thinking of the same thing. And this quote really underpins what the concept of upstream prevention really means. There comes a point where we need to stop pulling kids out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. And what we need to emphasise when we talk about Planet Youth is it's not really about the 15 or 16 year olds that do the survey. Often they are giving up their time, they're giving their insights for the kids that are going to come after them. And that can be really uncomfortable at times to sit with. But we're really confident that actually upstream sits upstream. And quite often we get midstream and upstream a bit confused. Measuring the success of upstream prevention isn't really about the football clubs or the art classes or the stuff, whatever it might be. They're important, but they often sit midstream. We're hearing a lot of that in youth clubs at the moment where there's incredible youth work going, but it's really targeted youth work for particular needs. And there's so many amazing charities and organisations working with 14, 15, 16-year-olds, and we want them to keep doing what they're doing. But we want to be clear that Planet Youth very much sits upstream, listening to what the current 15-year-olds tell us about the environments that they're growing up in and that help them make good decisions, and then looking at the kids younger and seeing how we can change their environment now so that when they're answering the questions later, they're answering those questions a little bit differently. So how the model does this is through learning about those four core aspects of a child's life and looking at how we can take that and understand what are the risks and what are the protective factors and increase those protective factors and decrease the risk factors. Really simple. I think when we look at this, we always think it's simple, but it's quite complex when we're going through it and when you're trying to implement it within Scotland. But in a very simple way, we're increasing protective factors, we're decreasing risk factors. And as Anna said, what we're aiming to do here is really aspirational. It's not about it being a little bit less rubbish. It's about everything being better for our kids, to be able for them to be happier, healthier, safer. And we know that kids choosing and being a part of some of these risk-taking behaviours and trying these things for the first time are not doing so because they think they're going to like it and they think they're going to like the taste. There are so many different factors that lead some of our young people to make the choices that we know ultimately aren't going to serve them. So what this approach does is it takes a data-driven lens to work out what those risk and protective factors are. And it's not about just saying no or expecting teenagers that still have their growing brains to make better choices than any of us as adults make. I think we quite often will stay out for an extra drink or we'll lose our temper when we're trying to remain calm and had an extra biscuit when we've said we're not going to have it. We know that these things happen and we know that kids with their growing brains can't be just presumed to make better choices. But it's about creating environments where young people can get that sense of belonging. They have natural highs, they have connection by participating in healthy ways, because those healthy ways and those healthy options are available, they're accessible, they're normal, they're popular. Our kids make great decisions. They can and do make good decisions all of the time, but quite often we are currently putting them into environments that make making good decisions really hard. So how it actually works, a prevention model that is actually evidenced to prevent young people turning to alcohol and other drugs at a young age, how did they do it? How did they change the culture? Very simply, they listened and they weren't afraid to be bold and to change the systems to improve the environment for their young people. Iceland was able to take their prevention model and turn it into a sort of 10-step process for countries around the world to adapt to their context and their local communities. Ultimately, what you're seeing on your screen is a real guideline for systems and culture change. By building the community capacity through getting the right people involved and aware of Planet Youth and identifying that available resource to support community empowerment. And quite often people are surprised to see that getting the data, asking the questions is not step one. People rush towards that data, and of course they do, it's great insights, but actually the data is no help without the right people. So when the data does come, you know that action is going to follow. So to start with, you have to build that capacity within the communities and make sure the right people are around the right tables, having the right conversations about upstream prevention. Then you can go and ask the questions. The real core processes then focus on empowering and engaging communities, sharing the word with Planet Youth and sharing the key insights from what the young people are telling us and considering what actions locally can be taken to improve the environment, influenced not only by the data insights, but by all of that rich community engagement that they're doing as well. And it's really not the numbers that are interesting to share. There's, you know, we've gone through it. We've gone through lots of fear around sharing the data. And we had lots of big conversations about it's not about sharing the data. It's not that interesting that X amount of young people are drinking, smoking, taking drugs. That's not what's interesting about what we get from these surveys. What's interesting is some of the correlations. What are the insights that tell us about the rest of their life? So the fact that you're more likely to have been drunk in the last 30 days if you don't believe that anyone at your school believes in you, or you're more likely to have been drunk in the last 30 days if you're spending less time with your parents or not involved in out of school activities. So it's about looking at those behaviours, those risk-taking behaviours, and what else is happening around those kids' lives. And then it's only at step 9 that any of the initiatives take place, any of the action takes place once you've done all of that. People are often surprised to hear that, it's not the clubs, the activities, the leisure cards, it's a way of thinking. It really confirms some of what we already know, and it gives us a mechanism, a language, to really elevate work that's already going on in our communities. It ensures that we really understand what's working and what's not and why. There's no end to prevention work. Our colleagues in Iceland talk about this so beautifully that, you know, there's a clear start date to doing this, but there is no end date. We need to continue doing this. And actually, there's also no one right answer. The data doesn't tell you what to do, but combined with the local knowledge, it helps you work out what to try and test and rejig. So we really believe that we should be building strong children. And to do that, we should be ensuring that they have the right environments that allow them to make really good decisions. We recently launched a new pledge campaign. What's really important about Planet Youth is it's everyone's responsibility and everyone has something to give around prevention, whether that's professionally or personally. So we would really encourage everyone to think about what they can do. So if you want to scan the code, you can pledge something now. You might have thought of something that you know that within your world you can be doing right now, or whether it's later on you can think of something. But we'd really encourage you to think about what can you do, because every single person has something that they can be doing, whether that's about telling someone else about this, whether it's about working more upstream, whether it's about looking at your prevention strategies locally and thinking how preventative is it really. There is something that everyone here can do.
That was Morgan Moore, Planet Youth National Delivery Manager with Winning Scotland, speaking January 29th on a webinar hosted by the Scottish Drugs Forum entitled Young People and Drugs, Early Intervention and Harm Prevention. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Another speaker on this webinar was Laura Keast, Planet Youth Officer at Clackmannanshire Council.
I'm here to share something that's been really, really successful in Clackmannanshire, something that's come about as a result of Planet Youth and the data, and that has been really, really exciting. And I'm really excited to tell you a little bit about it. So last summer, we launched family sessions during the summer holidays in Alloa Family Centre. And this came about as a result of discussing some of the data with our Planet Youth Coalition round about June last year. One of the key things that came out of the data in Clackmannanshire was that or one of the key strengths was that a lot of our young people do feel that they have positive relationships with their parents. 92% of our young people reported during the survey that they have caring and warm relationships with their parents. And another really key thing was the link between young people who spend time with their parents and evenings at weekends, the impact that has on their mental health, and also the impact that that has on their behaviour, specifically around substance misuse or potential substance misuse. And we were able to draw the conclusion from the Planet Youth data that spending time together as a family is really, really a protective factor. Out in Clackmannanshire, there are potentially quite limited options for families to be able to do that, especially in a context where it's quite rural. Transport links aren't very good. There are quite specific challenges to achieve that in Clackmannanshire. But at the coalition meeting, one of our members, Lynn, is the manager of Alloa Family Centre, which previously, prior to COVID and lockdown restrictions, had been a really vibrant hub in the community. There had been lots of different groups and different things happening. It was really well attended by families. However, as a result of lockdown and potentially a bit of a change in use for the family centre, it was used predominantly as like a contact centre for families engaging with social work services. Post-COVID, it hasn't been as well utilised as it had been previously, and there had been almost a bit of a stigma around this centre because it was seen to be a service for families engaging with social services. So we really decided to try and regenerate or get the public and the communities more interested in using this fantastic resource that they have, and also try and support something that would be in line with the Planet Youth data. During the summer holidays, as I said, there's quite a limited provision for family time, especially during the summer when, you know, young people and children are out of school. There is that little bit less structure around their day. So we co-facilitated our summer sessions as a collaboration between the social work team, ourselves, and community learning and development. And essentially ran them every week during the summer holidays. It was really successful. We had 160 people attended, 92 of which were young people between the ages of from birth to age 15. And it was a whole family setting. So parents, grandparents, carers could come along with all of their children, and there was activities and different things available for all ages, essentially. As you can see, it's been really, really well received by our local community. One of our parents said, having these sessions has meant so much. I have space to talk to others in the community, and her child has an opportunity to play with other little ones. That mum actually lives quite rurally and was quite isolated, and was really, really positive about her experience coming along.
That was Laura Keast, Planet Youth Officer at Clackmannanshire Council, speaking January 29th on a webinar hosted by the Scottish Drugs Forum entitled Young People and Drugs, Early Intervention and Harm Prevention. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio, syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's AudioPort service. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh
for
saying
the Drug
so
Truth
long.
Network.
So
this
long.
Is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.